had heard that those who were following Maharaj Shantideva as his subjects were all becoming attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. And we were drawing a comparison to Srila Prabhupada, that those who follow a great soul will similarly, those who follow Srila Prabhupada will similarly get attached to Krishna. This was the theme of yesterday's, one of the themes of yesterday's lecture. And now, in today's lecture, it will be explained very nicely. I can't say I will explain nicely, but in today's verse, it will be explained very nicely how this actually works. And I think it will give us a great, let me say, entry gate, an Eintrittstor into the Prabhupada nectar which we wish to discuss. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ishvaram Ishvara Kambanam.
Ishvara-lambanam.
No, it's lambanam. I made a mistake. Ishvara-lambanam.
Ishvara-lambanam.
Guru-pato.
Guru-pato.
Nanya.
Nanya.
Dadasa.
Dadasa.
Maya.
Maya.
Unamaye.
Unamaye.
Rajan.
Rajan.
Svapnava.
Svapnava.
Satyaliyata.
Satyaliyata.
Ishvaralambam namchitam.
Ishvaralambam namchitam.
Guruvato nanyadatasa.
Guruvato nanyadatasa.
Maya gunamayi rajan.
Maya gunamayi rajan.
Svapnava prati. Pratyaliyata.
Pratyaliyata.
Inspiration. Sukadeva Goswami, the speaker of Bhagavatam, is addressing Maharaj Parikshit. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, because King Rantideva was a pure devotee, always Krishna conscious, and free from all material desires, the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, could not exhibit herself before him. On the contrary, for him Maya entirely vanished, exactly like a dream. Serpent. As it is said, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Maya Andakara Yan Krishna Tahanahi Mayala Adhikara. Just as there is no chance that darkness can exist in the sunshine, in a pure Krishna conscious person there can be no existence of Maya. The Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mama eva ye papatyante mayamitam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. If one wants to be free from the influence of Maya, the illusory energy, one must become Krishna conscious and always keep Krishna prominent within the core of his heart. That's very nice. Please let me repeat it again. If one wants to be free from the influence of Maya, the illusory energy, one must become Krishna conscious and always keep Krishna prominent within the core of his heart. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, note 34, the Lord advises that one always think of him. Nanana bhavamat pakto majaji mam namaskuru. This is a little different than the one in the 18th chapter. It's the same first two lines, and I only know the 18th. In this way, by always thinking of Krishna, by always being Krishna-minded, or Krishna-conscious, one can surpass the influence of Maya. Mayam itam tarantite. Because Rantideva was Krishna-conscious, he was not under the influence of the illusory energy. The word snanavat is significant in this connection. Because in the material world, the mind is absorbed in materialistic activities. When one is asleep, many contradictory activities appear in one's dream. When one awakens, however, these activities automatically merge into the mind. Similarly, as long as one is under the influence of the material energy, he makes many plans and schemes, but when one is Krishna conscious, such dream-like plans automatically disappear. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimadevakivedanta Swami Nidhinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Yurisheta Sundravadi Paskaryade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hear the verse again. Ishvarat lambanam chitam kurvato nanya rarasa maya gunamayi rajan svatnavat pratyaliyata. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, because King Rantideva was a pure devotee, always Krishna conscious and free from all material desires, the Lord's illusory energy Maya could not exhibit herself before him. On the contrary, for him Maya entirely vanished exactly like a dream. Srila Prabhupada immediately starts his purport by bringing, quoting this verse, just as there is no chance that darkness can exist in the sunshine. In a pure Krishna conscious person, there can be no existence of Maya. I think we can easily understand this example. When there is a sunshine, you know, when the sun is up, darkness has no existence. In the same way, when a devotee is Krishna conscious, or as Prabhupada says here, is Krishna minded, and keeps Krishna prominent within the core of his heart, the innermost essence, then for him the illusion of material existence, which is very strong, which keeps actually all conditioned souls under her spell, goes away. So this is a blessing which the pure devotee can bring into our lives. Srila Prabhupada once described his own preaching as taking a risk. The risk is to bring Westerners like us, who unfortunately do not have such good sanskaras, good impressions, to draw their attention and put it only on Krishna. Wonderful way Prabhupada expresses this. He says, the whole Vedic adventure, he says this is an adventure, the whole Vedic adventure is to draw one's attention entirely to the lotus feet of the Lord without diversion. This is an adventure. Prabhupada wanted to bring us into the sun of Krishna so that in the darkness of Maya we have no existence in our lives. Let us study now a little bit Srila Prabhupada, who wants to give us this blessing. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes very nicely that if we hear about the activities of a real sadhu, a real saint, this is gives us a good example and inspiration. Do you know about this technique? When you sometimes don't feel so inspired in Krishna consciousness, just read the biography of Srila Prabhupada or of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur or of Rasikananda. There are now many life descriptions out in Krishna of these examples. And when you read these examples, when you read about the wonderful and amazing lives of these personalities, something happens to you. You begin to also feel enthusiasm. A poet once said that a saint in this world is like a tree in the desert who provides shade and relief to all those who come close. So we want to come close today to Srila Prabhupada, and I would like to start by letting Prabhupada explain something about his appearance. But I'm not sure that I really found this. I'm very sorry, I have the wrong text here.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much.
I will be able to tell you from memory because it is very much in my mind. Srila Prabhupada describes about the devotees of Krishna who had previous contact with Krishna consciousness and who are somehow falling away from Krishna consciousness due to some unfortunate circumstances. And then they are born again in the family of transcendentalists. Found here. Prabhupada says it is especially such families are very learned and devoted by tradition and training, and thus they become spiritual masters. These great souls who are born in these families. In India, there are many such acharya families, but they have now degenerated due to insufficient education and training. By the grace of the Lord, there are still families that foster transcendentalists generation after generation. It is certainly very fortunate to take birth in such families. Fortunately, both our spiritual master Om Vishnupad, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and our humble self, Prabhupada saying, my humble self, and our humble self, had the opportunity to take birth in such families. By the grace of the Lord, and both of us were trained in the devotional service of the Lord from the very beginning of our lives. Later on, we met by the order of the transcendental system. He says, me, my spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our humble selves, Srila Prabhupada, they met by the order or arrangement of the transcendental system. You would like to read this very endearing passage. It's in the 6th chapter, text 42. Srila Prabhupada's birth was glorious. He was not born in the family of an ordinary man. He was born in the family of a great devotee, Gaur Mohan Dey. And he, in his Krishna book, for instance, tells that his father already trained him and gave some principles of Krishna consciousness in his early life, and later his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in a very natural way, continued the training of his father, Gaur Mohan Dey. What a glorious, what a auspicious, what a very special situation. Srila Prabhupada also describes that from the very beginning of his life, he was very attracted to Krishna. He played not with toys like an ordinary person. Srila Prabhupada, he actually played with deities. He worshipped the deities. He was attached to Radha and Krishna. His father gave him Radha and Krishna deities. In fact, he even says that his family had one deity. The name was, I believe, Radha Govinda. Yeah, Radha Govinda. And if you are interested to find these deities, they are still there in Calcutta. Prabhupada remembered how he was, when he was very small, in a, now comes an English word, which I also don't know so much. It's perambulator, as far as I remember. It's a child's carriage. You know, you go like, you go like this. It's Kinderwagen in Deutsch. He remembered scenes, how he was in that Kinderwagen, and how the servant of the house brought him every day before the deities, and how he looked at the deities when he was very small. And later, he could go to the deities, and he was serving the deities in a very nice way. So, when he was old enough, he was actually having his own Radha Krishna deity, which his father gave him. He became very, very, very happy at serving them later. When Prabhupada traveled, he always had his own set of Radha Krishna deities with him. You will be happy to notice that our small Radha Krishna deities, which are on the right side of this, of the altar, from our direction, they are the deities which Prabhupada had with him when he traveled. Yes. Not all the time. He had different sets of deities. But for some time he traveled with those deities. And there he would come, he would set up the altar for the Radha Krishna deities and worship them. They were his traveling deities, if you so want. As a child, he learned to take care of the deities nicely, and it carried on, and the deities protected him. I know that some of our children who have now become grown-ups, have also done this in their childhood, and the worship carries on into their grown-up stage. And it's very nice. It helps you to to see Miss Krishna as a person, that you relate to Krishna as a person. When ordinary people would climb onto trees and run around in parks and so on, and visit the Rolling Stones concert, Prabhupada had a different style of festivals. He used to play Ratha Yatra. There is a very endearing passage which I believe you are aware of, and I will only briefly mention it. Srila Prabhupada wanted to always, when he was a child, have a Ratha Yatra car and do a Ratha Yatra festival. But there was no small car available. So his father tried to get him a Ratha Yatra car, but it was simply not there. I think they went shopping for a whole day to find this car, but he couldn't find it. And finally, Prabhupada sat down and just cried. He couldn't do his festival. Then, by Lord Jagannath's mercy, one lady came and said, "Why is he crying like this? What's the problem?" The father explained the problem. Lady said, "Ah, good, I have a cart. I don't need it. This is for him." And from that day on, Srila Prabhupada arranged at his childhood play, Ratha Yatra festivals in Calcutta, which became so well attended and well known, I should say, that the friends of Gomohan Dey, his father, would come to him and say, "You're not inviting us, this is such a big event, and we are not invited." Gomohan Dey said, "It's child's play, it's such a child's play." No, Lord Jagannath is here, he wants to participate. And it became big festivals. These symptoms of Krishna Raga, an attachment to Krishna, deep attachment to Krishna, from birth, they are the specific symptoms of a liberated person who is not starting his Krishna consciousness when he is born or when he joins the spiritual, when he joins the Hare Krishna movement. It is the symptom of someone who is already Krishna conscious. There are several personalities like this. Parikshit Maharaj is another one who is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And all these Mahabhagavatas, they have such childhoods where they play, or where they do deity worship and arrange these festivals around the Lord. I do not wish to go through the whole life of Srila Prabhupada here, but just put a few highlights, so to say. And I think those who listen with attention know what is in my mind and why I choose these highlights. Those who do not know can ask the others later and find out from them. I will not tell it directly, but in spiritual circles one talks sometimes indirectly to make a meaning. Highlight I want to give is Prabhupada took sannyas and from Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, whom he held very, very dear, who was a very, very dear friend of him in the which year was it? I'm so bad in remembering this.
1964.
No, 1968. 1967, something. He took sannyas. Yes, that we all know. Prabhupada was 64 years old. It was 58. Good. And 1958, we have to, you know, for the tape, listening critic, we have to know the date, you know, 1958. 58, Hollywood. There are some very extraordinary circumstances how he took sannyas. The seed started when Prabhupada remembered more and more the instruction of his spiritual master to go and preach. At that time his family obligations towards his children were running out. The children were growing up and they became able to stand on their own feet. So his Grihastha ashram, or his obligations, slowly came to the close. And at that time he went to he went preaching in Jhansi. Although he was a Grihastha, he lived practically like an ascete in some dilapidated building, the Radha Memorial Building. And when he finally left his wife and family, it happened like this. He describes, he went into the train station of Calcutta and he studied the train tables, and he found that there was a train going to Vrindavan in about, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it was just about to go. And he reached into his pocket and he found he had exactly the required money to buy a train ticket to Vrindavan. And he purchased the ticket and to Vrindavan. Maybe he came back to settle things, of course. But then, Srila Prabhupada, at that time, had a dream. It was the second time that he got this dream. His spiritual master appeared to him in the dream, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and called him, come with me. And this dream, when it first came, it totally shocked Srila Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada did not want to take sannyas. To take sannyas in ISKCON is not really difficult. In fact, it is much, much easier than a brahmacharya or grihastha life. You get all the food you need, you don't have to work, you are free, more or less. If it doesn't come from inside and you push yourself from inside, the outside will not push you because you are a holy man now. Somehow you have to transform mysteriously by a dress change and so on. And it's easy. But the old system of taking sannyas, just listen to the ritual and you will get shocked. Sannyas would go, you now hear and get be shocked, but he would make a pyre, a funeral pyre. Funeral pyre is ein Scheiterhaufen, wo man kremiert wird, cremation pyre. Then he would lie on that fire. And everyone would, it would be so painful to see this. And then he would get up from, pyre of the Haufen. He would lie on it. Then he would quickly move down from it and put the whole thing ablaze. Light the fire. He cremated himself. This was the ritual meaning of this. He died a social death. He was no longer, who likes to die a social death? This is terrible. When I say I'm writing now a book about death, everyone goes like, looks at me as if I'm Count Dracula or something. What is in my mind? And people are so afraid of this subject. So the sannyasi, he will voluntarily become a poor man, a beggar, totally dependent on only Krishna, not on the way he eats is by Madhukari. He is not even allowed to go to one house to get everything what he needs in one time. He has to go to 7 houses a day. I have once done Madhukari. It is a humbling experience. sometimes people don't give you anything, especially they look at you and you are great man, you are from this country, you have enough, you should give us donations. But the Fernandes are very rich. The other people, you know. Very intense experience. So Prabhupada, he said, when he this is what was in the mind of Srila Prabhupada when his spiritual master called him to take sannyas. He said, I was horrified. He used this word. Ich war entsetzt, sagt man in Deutsch. So, then, this was the first dream. The second dream, it appeared again, and then Srila Prabhupada was ready to follow his spiritual master. He used to recite a verse at that time as Yasyam Anugrinami Harishyatatanam Shanai. That Krishna, when Krishna likes someone very much, he takes everything away from him. So, yes. Then his family members turn away from him because he has no longer money, and then he's totally dependent on Krishna. This was the meaning of sannyas. So Srila Prabhupada took that step to save the conditioned souls. Let me say, to follow the order of his spiritual master. This was first and foremost in his mind, and the second was his compassion to preach to the devotees. He gave everything up. He died, so to say, in that social way, you know, in the society way, and he became a Vela. He lived in Vrindavan and near Sevakunj at the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, and he prepared himself to go to the Western world. The way he prepared himself is by deep prayer to Rupa Goswami and deep meditations about Radha and Krishna, who perform their eternal and very confidential pastimes in that area, and by writing books. He wrote every day books, and the first book he actually wrote and published, it's very interesting, it's Easy Journey to Other Planets. Now those of you who like Vaishnava scriptures, they know that there is an easy journey to other planets already written. The English book is an original title, but there is a Sanskrit book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Who can say what this book could be? A little difficult. Yes.
It is Brihad
Bhagavatamrita. It's a book by Sanatana Goswami, which Srila Prabhupada recommends in the Chaitanya Charitamrita for all of us to read and study, and you will be glad to hear. Soon our Vishnumurti will be able to supply you this book because it's in the production phase already. It's a book really on how to return to the spiritual planet and how to, the hero of the book, Gop Kumar, goes to the different planetary systems in this universe and then finally leaves the universe. And this is the subject of Prabhupada's book as well, this Easy Journey to Other Planets. He made it easy for us. Gokumar's journey is a difficult travel to other planets. It's really difficult. If you read it, those of you who have visited seminars on this book, which were given, you know who it is. Anspruchsvoll, to say the least. Prabhupada wanted to make it accessible, and therefore your easy journey to other planets. Come along, travel back home, back to God. And he had. An acharya can do this. A great soul can do this. So then, Srila Prabhupada, but for him it was not easy. He had to make a big sacrifice in his life. To take sannyas was one thing. Then he went on the ship had to go to the Western world, like his spiritual master had told him, and there were high waves, and he became sick. He was an elderly gentleman at that time, and suffered an almost deadly heart attack. And Prabhupada says the only reason he survived was a mystical reason. He prayed to Krishna to give him his life to do the mission. Krishna had already decided to take him back, but then Krishna said, okay, you do your nonsense. Krishna had to change his plan because Prabhupada was very, very determined to do this mission. That heart attack was really not something small. He had again another heart attack which almost took his life, and at that time he went back to India and he thought also he would die, but again Krishna kept him. It was a sacrifice. It was not an easy journey to the West, or an easy fulfillment of the orders of the spiritual master. I think some of you are preachers. Sometimes a little tired. Toshan Krishna, du musst einmal dich eröffnen und Fenster und ich eröffnen. Also du musst deinen eigenen Komfort vergessen, wie ich wieder vorfahre und an andere jetzt denken. Mach richtig offen, so wie es sich gehört, wenn man eine müde Zuhörerschaft hat. Preaching is blissful, but all of you who were on Sankirtana to preach know these situations when you meet crazy people. Then it becomes an austerity. And I want to tell you one of the typical scenes of Prabhupada's preaching. In San Francisco there were these people who were trying to improve their consciousness by drug consumption. Prabhupada used to have every morning his morning class, and these people who were up all night, who had not slept, who were full of drugs and who were just so disturbed in their minds, they were coming up there, and at the end Prabhupada would give all this. He would have an apple. He was not very wealthy, and he would cut an apple and he would distribute it. So during this whole lecture, there was someone who was totally crazy and crazy sounds so aggressive. I mean, disturbed in his mind, and he would howl and woo and ha and make aggressive signs. He was really not in a good state of mind. And it became so wild that Prabhupada had to tackle this person, otherwise he would explode or something wild would happen. So what he did is he gave the prasadam, but he also gave with the prasadam the knife like this. Now the person could choose between the apple or the knife, and this was very drastic. The person's that no one was breathing and was thinking, wow, maybe a murder will happen here now. Before our eyes, the person looks at the knife and the apple, Prabhupada, and it was really disturbed. Imagine, for a person from Vrindavan, a person who has a deep inner life, who's with Krishna, to be in such a situation. I mean, any one of us would get up and leave and say, this is too much, why do I have to do this, you know, and so on. Not Prabhupada. He tackled it. He looked him straight into the eyes. That's also not a pleasure, to look at a disturbed person right into the eyes. And then after what seemed to be an eternity, this is how Sasvarupa Maharaj describes it, the person took the apple. Hare Krishna, very good. I want to just, and sometimes, see, also from his own disciples, Prabhupada was so disappointed that sometimes he just So Swarup Maharaj describes this. He would cry in the night that these persons whom he wanted most to take the jewel of Krishna consciousness, for whom he had come and done all this trouble, they behaved, they fell back in their own ways, and they became critical towards their well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada, and they Prabhupada suffered so much because he loved his disciples. He had done these sacrifices to save them. And it was we, that means we as disciples. We are not always angels. If someone tells to you, I'm a Prabhupada disciple now, see if he is giving pain to his spiritual master or pleasure to his spiritual master. It's not enough to say, I am a Prabhupada disciple. We disciples have caused a lot of pain to Prabhupada. We have to take this responsibility and see how we can now become good disciples and not disappoint him. Yes. So, there's enough to say about Srila Prabhupada's tremendous sacrifice. His message, I want to say something about his message, something which some of you, most of you know, but you have not heard it directly from Prabhupada. His message was Sharanagati. Sharanagati means the full surrender unto the Lord, to become an instrument in the hands of the Lord, to give up your own motivation, to become a marionette. Thank you. I have said this earlier in a slideshow, but when I was in the Himalayan mountains and I met a yogi there who's meditating for 10 hours each day in the ice cold atmosphere. Then I asked this devotee, this yogi, who's your spiritual master? And he said, we couldn't communicate, so he said, Guruji? No? I said, look, then he was, getting one picture out. And shows the back of a book like this, where a picture of Prabhupada was. And I was very surprised, because nowadays some devotees say, who are maybe not on the level of the yogi who can meditate the whole day, Prabhupada's presentation, this critic, critical observation, and so on. But this, I had the vest a little bit in my mind, and I was, why is he a spiritual master? He was meditating about what is called Ashtakalya Leela. Those of you who know, those of you who don't know, it's not, it will come. There are very, very advanced processes in Krishna consciousness. And I asked him, so why? Well, Guruji, Sharanagati, he said. And this is correct. The message of Srila Prabhupada is Sharanagati. He wrote, surrendering to Krishna means, first, to become very meek and humble. Second, to dedicate one's life for this service. Third, to become a member of a spiritual family. Yesterday my father was there and he feels very much that I am a member of the Patterson clan, and therefore he will never address me by Sachinandan Swami, because it would mean he would surrender me to Krishna. That he is not ready to do it. For him, I am my passport name. But the last time Shishikada and myself, we slept at the house, the family was waiting for me to take breakfast with them, but I had not chanted my rounds and I was so much in the chanting and I was forgetting about breakfast. So I finally, father very shyly came up almost like a shadow, and he looked, I saw his face, he looked into this, it's a about the architecture there. It's like climbing into a nest. So he looked into the nest in this room, which is like a nest, and he saw I was changing. I saw him like this, and I wanted to finish my round. And then later, a few hours later, we had taken breakfast a little later, but he came to me alone, and he said, "There I have understood one thing which is very painful for the father. You are a part of Krishna's family. This is most important for you. I have seen this. You are in a different orbitary. You are not any longer you are a star which circulates around a different planet than the family life." He could see this. He's a sensitive person. And I knew that this was painful for the father, and I said, no, I love you, and so on, and all that. But then he said, "Your observation is true. This happens when you take to spiritual life. You just orient yourself in a different way and define yourself in a different way." So here, but here Prabhupada does not mean this, that we think ourselves a member of a Hare Krishna movement. To become a member of a spiritual family means we understand Krishna as our father. This goes beyond institutional religion, and it goes a very high stage of spiritual life. And you really are interested. What does Krishna want me to do? Not what does the world of men or humans want me to do. What does Krishna want me to do? Next thing of surrender, to have firm faith that Krishna will protect him. That's the fifth stage. And Lord Krishna will give attention to the prayers of such a devotee. No, you want that the Lord hears your prayer. It's good to keep these six points of surrendering process as much as you can do them. They are a life. Maybe several lives. In the soul, but no matter how several lives. In the soul, but no matter how but little steps you do on this, it's glorious, this path. Even only one step is wonderful. Krishna then, when he sees you are slowly starting to move on this path, even if you sometimes fall and you go maybe a little backwards and then you come a little bit in front again, he will hear your prayers. He will give all the attention. Or someone is trying to surrender. Very good. Everyone should, Prabhupada continues, everyone should follow the footsteps of the six Goswamis and the disciplic succession after the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the descendants of the Brahma Sampradaya. Everyone should pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all humility so that he may be kind enough to teach the science of surrender so that one becomes liberated in this life. This point is taken, at least the same point is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the song. I will now come to an end. Hare Krishna. Maharaj, and not so long as Damodar. Did you notice he had 3 meter long arms? By Damodar's mystical potencies, it was possible. It was so wonderful. My father and my mother said, "Damodar, this was like the high point of the whole adventure, adventure town, Avantoria." No, my father said, "He should go into TV. He should go to the first program. I know somebody."
didn't make the cut.
So something else. See, it's very difficult to describe Srila Prabhupada in terms like you have to also hear how he lives and so on. And I have chosen four Prabhupada jewels which I would like to share with you. Once Prabhupada was given the new printing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and was, as usual, extremely happy to see the printing. Then Prabhupada, however, turned to the back cover. This is the back cover. And saw the painting there, his smile dissolved. And his face became serious. Lord Brahma was depicted sitting on a red lotus flower high above Lord Vishnu. Here is Lord Vishnu, and the lotus flower is there, and Brahma is there, but it was depicted from here, from above. Once again, Lord Brahma was depicted sitting on a red lotus flower high above Lord Vishnu, who reclined majestically on the gigantic white serpentine bedstead of Sheshanaga as the Garbha ocean swirled all around. May I just see who of you knows this picture which is talked about? There's very few. Anyways, you will. You have to concentrate a little to capture the point if you have not seen the picture. So Prabhupada, the discrepancy was obvious. The artist had painted the subject from above. And Prabhupada immediately pointed out the mistake. "What is this?" he said quizzically, like making a quiz. Now looking through the very bottom part of his spectacles as it sat low on the nose. "Helicopter view?" don't laugh about the verb. The point is very subtle. Prabhupada paused and looked around at the two or three devotees seated in his room. "Who can be above Lord Vishnu?" He had pinpointed a faulty mentality in the artist that other less astute, means less expert, would probably have never noticed. The artist had inappropriately, that means wrongly, depicted the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and the topmost living being of the universe, Lord Brahma, from above, as if he was flying with an airplane over the transcendental scenery. A position unattainable for anyone in the creation. What I would like your attention to draw on, it's a little subtle, I agree, but we have to think in our lives. A life which is not with a reflection is not worth living. The point here is, Prabhupada lived so much in Krishna. He was so in this Krishna, the God conscious or Krishna conscious, that he saw a mistake which no ordinary person would ever have seen. No one can be above Krishna. The next Prabhupada jewel is something that I have a jewel also here. I have a birthday present and I will show you. Can you remain seated? It didn't happen often, but sometimes Srila Prabhupada was overcome by ecstatic emotions while lecturing. It had happened in the San Francisco storefront in the early days. I have a picture of this. When Prabhupada was describing Lord Chaitanya's mood of separation from Krishna, it also happened in Gorakhpur, India, where Prabhupada was seated before the deities of Radha Madhava discussing Krishna's pastimes. Now it happens again. He fell into ecstasy. It happened in the tiny temple room in Sydney before the deities of Radha Gopinath. Not long into the lecture, Prabhupada, while speaking about the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, was unable to continue speaking. He paused. if stunned, and a very perceivable change in his consciousness took place. Then trying, as he did with great effort, to restrain himself, he shed tears visibly before the silent temple room. After a few moments, he gathered his emotions and said, "Thank you very much." Thus ending the class. He couldn't speak, he couldn't continue any longer. The kirtan began, and Srila Prabhupada quickly left the temple room and returned to his house. I have a picture of this. Some of you will not believe what you see now. I have a picture of how what happens to the consciousness of a pure devotee close to Krishna. It is so strong that when you are near to this, I once saw this in Mayapur, and I immediately, there was such an atmosphere, you could feel Krishna was, Prabhupada saw Krishna. Me even, I went like, where? I could not see anything, obviously. And then Prabhupada started to cry, and it was really ecstatic. Can you see with that? Prabhupada started to be in ecstasy. Ranjit from film, he's very qualified to show this. This is a birthday present which I have gotten. Thank you very much. The devotee who gave it to me will know. Like this picture very much. Pull it back again. That is just not broken. It didn't happen very often. I want to say this. Why? These two points, helicopter view and ecstasy, it shows you where Prabhupada was. It is not difficult, and not, it is not possible for a mundane, calculative mind with only worldly experience to get an understanding. The pure devotee is far, far in another dimension. And it's very, very unfortunate if a devotee criticizes Srila Prabhupada. The devotee cannot know. To not understand sometimes the pure devotee, Prabhupada, that in itself is not a problem. We are fallen, we know this. But if a fallen person thinks he knows, and he can pass a judgment about a pure devotee, this is very, very unfortunate. It is called the mad elephant offense, which will destroy all the bhakti lata bijas which are in the heart. Advancement cannot take place if this is done, because Krishna is just so hurt. The pure devotee is not hurt. He doesn't even notice it. But Krishna is just so... Krishna cannot accept such a person who hurts the pure devotee. It's a very serious point. He cannot. If you don't understand the pure devotee, Prabhupada, that is understandable. We are human beings. We have to be purified. It takes some time. We can't jump steps in our overjump steps in our spiritual advancement. But if we make offenses, this we should not do. Just put the tongue on between the teeth and so on. If you hear someone doing this, say, "Prabhuji, you are so nice. You are so wonderful. Please, I'm not, you kill me with each word. Please don't say this. This is not good." Okay, so we go to the next point. A point which I like and which Jayadeva liked very much, because it is a very, very unusual point. And you remember, my father was very worried about me when I came into the temple, and he sent a spy into the temple to find out if everything was alright, because he said, "I never want to confront my son when the police brings him. I was in such a situation that I was also put in jail, and it was wonderful because I was put in jail because Prabhupada had given the order. it was, and we turned the jail into a cushion, the spiritual world. Let me tell you how it happened in Australia. In Australia, the devotees went to do Harinam and distribute their magazines in the streets of Melbourne. Now, the council, it is called, the Stadtrat in Deutsch, from Melbourne, did not appreciate this. They thought that the devotees would cause traffic obstructions and they would sell literature in places which were not commercial places, and they needed a permission which could never be granted because it's public ground and so on. And the police people started to come and stop the kirtan. At first the devotees did not pay so much attention, but it became really, you know, there were police people who were just waiting until when the kirtan came. And this was brought to Prabhupada's attention. The devotee said, "What should we do, Srila Prabhupada? We should go out and chant because it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. God's order is more important than the order of man in the pure devotee's mind." The devotees did this. And, they had to run away all this, and finally they couldn't run away any longer because the police people took them and brought them into the prison. They had to pay $1 each person. What should we do, Prabhupada? We cannot pay. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Then this became a politicum. Do you know what? Politicians took this up, and some opposing party, Greens, like the Greens, that we make this our case. And they said, a town which persecutes religious people is wrong. It is under the wrong political government. Choose us, we will protect the Hare Krishna people. You know, elect us. It became a politicum, as you say. And there was someone. They had the lawyers, and the lawyers would fight it out for the devotees in the court. They would ask for a very, very little amount of money, little payment, like, you know, 50 marks, so that they could buy their bread, you know, or something. So the devotees wrote back to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, should we pay the lawyer?" Prabhupada said, "No. We are under the protection of Krishna. We shall do Harinam in the towns of Melbourne. It is our right, religious freedom, and so on. It is our, and Chaitanya," he said, this was the main thing for him. now, during this time, I was in London, and I went out on the streets with the devotees. I was already, you know, I would preach in London on the streets, and 300 people would come around. Then at that time I had some enthusiasm, and the bobbies would tell me, you are causing a traffic disturbance, and you can't do this here, you go to Hyde Park Corner. And of course I did not, I had to preach where I was, you know, people, anyways, a little false ego was there in my face. And we did Harinam. Every Harinam, the police came and said, "You can't do this, you know this, come in the car, we are waiting here for you," and Jim, they would bring us to the prison. And so, you know, I didn't like confrontations with police. I would avoid them as much as I could in my ordinary days. Who likes this? But I felt, this is the movement I have joined, this is a revolutionary movement. All right, I like it, the philosophy. If I don't like this, I am trying to surrender. So we went, and after some time, the police said, "It's enough. These people are good people. We know this." And okay, let them chant. Let them chant. They surrendered. So Prabhupada had this in mind, and he wrote the devotees in Australia. Now regarding this business of Sankirtan, the solution is simply go on the Sankirtan activities as you have been doing, and be then arrested and let them arrest us if they like. We will not stop. Just like in London, they became arrested as many times, and there was so much public display over arresting that gradually the police stopped arresting, and now they have Sankirtan anywhere they like without any botheration. If you take this, then he said, don't take this into the court, that's a lot of money. Let them fill their jails with us again and again, but we shall not stop our Sankirtan movement. And right after some time, the Supreme Court of Australia judged, we should be happy to have these colorful people in our town. They enrich the atmosphere of the town. He was right. Now, I know that many devotees who think the Hare Krishna movement should become more established have a very, very good point. I also don't think these are the old times, the past, and Prabhupada knew how to flexibly react at the old times. I think now we need to think a little bit, how to establish ourselves. Most of us are anyway in the Grihastha mode of thinking, which is the ashram for establishment. So we also did many mistakes. We took this letters as an allowance to do anything and everything we like. This was a mistake. But I also want to point out this: don't lose the spiritual revolutionary spirit. Please, this is a. Why should we be like ordinary people? This is boring. But let us do it, and let us ask our Harivari. He is our brain for legal things, and he will advise us in Germany what to do, what not to do. But this is a spiritual movement. Spiritual movement. God. So, I come now to the last point. I wish to read to you wrote in his last days, very, very often, wrote in the last days, yes, when he was getting older. Now, he said, I'm feeling, that means when he had established the movement, I'm feeling more and more inclined for philosophy. So I want to sit down here in Los Angeles and translate my Srimad Bhagavatam without much interruption. So I'm requesting my good disciples, as much as possible, to consult the senior disciple in matter of management, philosophy, and personal problems. Of course, I always welcome letters from my beloved disciples, but unless there is some urgent matter, it is better if all of the students will address their questions from the South Pacific and Australian zone. So, this one devotee whom he named, you may inform them. What I want to say, what I want to highlight is, Prabhupada, when he had established the movement, he wanted to draw back and write what he described to be his personal ecstasies, go into the purpose, so on, and serve mankind by literary contributions in very, very a deep and nice thing to hear. This aspect of Prabhupada. And he also said something which I think is very good for us. He wrote this to us in Germany. Now it's not the time to expend too much, he said. Now it's time to boil the milk. That means to help the devotees so that they can become strong and thick in their Krishna consciousness, in this way do something meaningful with their life. Yes. These are some Prabhupada jewels. I will now round up the lecture. It's already a little too long, but before rounding it up, I want to say I've read these Prabhupada jewels from this book, The Great Transcendental Adventure by Koma Prabhu, and I want to make a little advertisement for this book. As far as I have read all the books which are available, I do not know all, but all which Vishnumurti could supply, at least, on Prabhupada and his pastimes. And this must be pretty exhaustive. But of all the books, I think this really paints a picture of Prabhupada which is amazing. It's very little, it's very, very deeply researched. The author Koma, who's a cook, made this book like he makes a banquet, the spicing, the seasoning, the thinking what to go where, what goes together with what, and so on. It's really nice and easy reading. It's you can read it in the evening when you are really exhausted, and so on. The Great Transcendental Adventure. I'm not saying that it is the best book on Prabhupada, by no means, because every book is the best book on Prabhupada, and since it represents the view of the author, but it is a very good book. I want to round up the lecture. The point which I wanted to make today is obviously to look a little bit on Srila Prabhupada and to encourage and inspire you to think a little bit about Srila Prabhupada in your own lives. Do you think Prabhupada has left his body and therefore has left us? This is not spiritual thinking. And great personalities are not limited to the one material body which they have. Some of you study esoteric and you all think of lay and this medium channel, this person, that channel, that person. Why don't you channel Prabhupada? Not in a hopeless way, but in the way he has encouraged us to come in contact with us, is reading what he puts out, what he has said, and then slowly beginning to feel the strength in the divine connection growing. It is a very, very wonderful thing. It is much more exciting to have Prabhupada than have some conditioned soul who has some other perspective because he's in another dimension, say something to another conditioned soul who misunderstood half of the things through his filtered mind. It's much, much, much better to have a spiritual communication to a pure devotee. It gives much more strength for spiritual advancement. So this was the first point I wanted to say, and I also wanted to show you a little bit why it is not just an institutional policy to put Prabhupada in to focus on Prabhupada. Many social critics have criticized the new policy of our leaders to say the gurus are not so important. Prabhupada is the one and all, because it is a fact from a sociological point of view. ISKCON needs now a unifying factor, and this nobody else can do than the one who is accepted by all, the Srila Prabhupada. So it's only good social politics to put Prabhupada in the center. It wouldn't work to unify ISKCON by putting any other thing there. So some critics have said the reason why you all go now to Prabhupada is because you want to save the institution. The critics' point is not entirely wrong, because I feel that sometimes the glorification of Prabhupada might be mixed, like all human beings do the thing. The reason why I want to make it very clear who Prabhupada is and how much we can get from him is because he is what he is. Hare Krishna. He is what he is. He will always be what he is, no matter what we human beings do on our human level. He's just very, very dear and close to Krishna. It's very rare to find such a person. I didn't want to criticize when I said sociopolitics, I used this word, the leading devotees, many leading devotees are very highly advanced and they love Prabhupada. They don't do this as a schachzug, so to say, as a maneuver. No, but sometimes I have seen from some devotees that,
listen, Sachinanda Maharaj, if you don't put Prabhupada in the center, all this will be lost and our temples, we won't be sitting in our temples any longer and we will not be. Is this all why you want to put Prabhupada in the center? Is there something about him why you want to put him in the center, maybe? Or is there only something about you why you want to put him in the center? You are all so eccentric. I don't know. Anyways, we have discussed and everything is clear now. So let us please understand Prabhupada. You will need him to advance in your spiritual life. It is necessary. It is not a literary luxury or hobby, so on. It is a necessary. Hare Krishna. I hope I said the right things. Please, I'm a little tired and things might not come out so well. Please see, I think my point is clear. I want to end the lecture here. I'm not sure if we should take questions. In fact, I personally think we should not take questions at this time because at 11 o'clock we have another important meeting, and I would request you to use the 1.5 hours for taking prasadam and living your life, chanting it all of that. This and then we will see each other at 11 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Visi Gauri Thai ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandini Thai ki jai.